Meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute. Brenda?
Getting it. It just takes a minute to pop over.
Okay.
Should be there now. Is it there?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands.
One nation under God.
Indivisible. Liberty.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Councilmember Stout? I'll still try to get a hold of her, Mayor, okay, during the meeting. Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember Nelson?
Here.
Councilmember Page?
Here.
So, I would accept a motion to
make a motion to accept the consent agenda or the agenda, sorry.
Agenda.
Right. Second. Make a motion to accept the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is we have a proclamation. It's National Police Officers Memorial Week from 5/10 to 5/16. And we placed that proclamation in with your packet materials, so you should have that. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So there will be no public comments. The public comments will be included with the minutes if they weren't turned in prior to the meeting. So the next item on the agenda is the ordinance granting the city of Tacoma a non-exclusive franchise to construct, maintain, and operate, replace, and repair a water system within public rights of way of the city. Mr. Botcher. Oh, there he is.
I'm always the last one to make it happen.
Well, greetings all. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, we are bringing you the Tacoma Public Utilities franchise for adoption tonight. We've reviewed this document in detail with the council members of the Public Works Committee and then discussed the franchise in some detail at our last council meeting as well. We've not received any comments or concerns from the public or from the council in the last 2 weeks. This franchise will establish the working relationship and the authority within the public right-of-way where Tacoma Public Utilities has facilities, which currently is only at one point where their major regional facility crosses State Route 169. This franchise, it establishes the rules for protects the interests of the public, helps to avoid disputes, and helps both agencies plan their projects with respect to one another's rights. Public Works is recommending of this approval of this franchise. It's been under in negotiations for about a year. So I'd recommend adoption. Thank you.
So I make a To adopt ordinance number 20-1139, granting to the City of Tacoma a non-inclusive water system franchise to construct, maintain, operate, replace, and repair a water system within the public right-of-way, providing for establishing an effective date.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is the resolution awarding construction contract to Pavement Maintenance of Washington LLC for the 2020 Citywide Asphalt Overlays Project. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. We are bringing you an excellent bid to award for the paving of the north portion of 236th Avenue Southeast and Southeast 312th Street. This project is funded primarily by Transportation Improvement Board grant, and we provide a 15% match. Additionally, part of this bid is the second schedule is for repaving the entrance road to the Public Works shop and paving Railroad Avenue from State Route 169 to Park Street. And that's funded by Public Works Yard Improvement Funds and annual roadway maintenance funds. I want to commend Scott Hannes for putting together an excellent set of plans and specs and saving the city considerable amount of engineering fees. The mayor and members of the Public Works Committee asked us to look into paving a handicap parking space by the gate to the park. This will take an amendment to the city's parking ordinance, but can easily be incorporated into the scope of work. No action is needed in regard to the handicap ramp tonight. We would need to bring this issue to the Public Works Committee for discussion and possible forwarding to the council for action at a future council meeting. So that was an item that was discussed with mayor and the council. Tonight, we're looking for an award of the bid and authorization to sign the contract. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah. Councilmember Stout.
Thank you. We had a comment from a member of the public saying that some of this paving is to repair the roadway from utility work done by someone else, and I don't think that's correct. We're just doing our regular road maintenance. Isn't that right, Seth?
On 232nd, I'm trying to think where they might be thinking, and there we haven't done any utility work on 312th, nor have we done any utility work on 232nd. And likewise, there hasn't been any projects by Covington Water District either. They may be thinking about the sewer work that is going on 288th Street. Those repairs and paving will be done by the contractor and the developer.
But none of that is included in these projects?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yes, Councilmember Page.
So, Seth, I just want to clarify on that project on 288th that is fully funded by the developer. Is that correct?
Yes. They're also cover our inspection costs and expenses related to monitoring the work.
Perfect.
So this is just work on 232nd and 312th, is that what I'm reading?
Yeah, yes. And then there's two schedules, Schedule A and Schedule B. There's on the vicinity map, you would see there is two short sections of roadway, one being the entrance to the public works shops, which all of the utilities, water, sewer, street, and storm contribute to improvements to the public works yard. And that road is pretty much gone. So we're going to be repaving that and providing some paved parking for the gym. So that'll make it nicer for handicapped to be able to get to the ramp instead of pushing through gravel. And then Railroad Avenue gets back to gravel. That section is abuts the area where we had taken out the cottonwood trees.
Okay, thank you. I think we're just trying to clarify that this doesn't cover anything on 288. It's 232nd, 312th, Railroad Ave, and by Public Works.
Yeah, correct.
Cool. Thank you, Seth.
You're welcome.
So I guess one additional question is that pertains to how the committee was discussing this project was in relation to, I think, some of the health components to it. Could you speak more to why we are prioritizing some of these projects?
Well, we did talk about on the Railroad Avenue that there were several homeowners in that area that have been concerned about the dust coming into their homes as the cars drive by in the summer. And I think they were particularly concerned because one of them had asthmatic problems. So the paving would help that situation. Lowering our maintenance cost.
Correct. And I think that's why we thought it was an especially good idea why we were moving forward on this, is because this is also a matter of people being able to have better air quality when they're going in and out of this particular stretch of road. So it's definitely an extra good reason.
So I'll just say that I lost my place in reading, for the passing of this. So if somebody knows where that is and you can read it.
I can't find it either, the ordinance itself.
I'm buried in there, yeah.
It's on the council action bill. It should be the first one.
No, Melissa, you were quick with finding it the first time.
Does anybody else have the ordinance in front of them?
Melissa, you're muted.
Oh, hit your button.
Sorry, I had kids in the background. Let me double check. I'm looking to see where I was reading something, so let me scroll back up.
Here, I found it. I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1350, authorizing the mayor to execute $119,585 contract with Pavement Maintenance of Washington LLC for the 2020 citywide asphalt overlay project, and authorizing a $10,000 contingency fund for the construction of this project.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item is resolution awarding a construction contract to Doolittle Construction LLC for the 2020 Lawson Street Chip Seal Project. Roger.
Thank you, Mayor. We planned these projects in our transportation planning. We budgeted for these projects. We've applied and were awarded grant funding. And now we're requesting the award of this patching and chip sealing bid to Doolittle Construction. This is for Lawson Street from Newcastle to the East City limits. We had very good results and good response for the chip seal project that Doolittle Construction completed for us a couple of years ago on 224th. The project is under the city's estimate within budget, and we are recommending you award this bid and authorize the mayor to sign a contract with Doolittle Construction.
Did anybody find the ordinance?
I'll make the motion. Motion to adopt resolution number 20-1351, authorizing the mayor to execute a $107,840 contract with Doolittle Construction LLC for the 2020 Lawson Street Chip Seal Project and authorizing a $10,000 contingency fund for the construction of this project.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing agreement with King County to provide water quality monitoring lab services and voluntary training for Lake Sawyer. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you again. This is a contract that we've had with King County for some time. This is a three-year contract. King County provides the lab service, the management and administration of this water quality testing and this program. And they provide a very nice summary and conclusion report, annual report for us. Once we start something like this, it's nice to have a continuous record of the water quality data, because you can then pick up on trends and see if things are getting worse or getting better. And fortunately, things have been getting better. Although it looks stable the last 5 years or so. So annually, that's a little over $5,000 a year. And they also do have provided training and management of the volunteer staff that collect the samples and deliver the samples to King County. So the Public Works committee group, they felt that we should continue on with this water quality testing. So leave it to you.
I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1352, authorizing the mayor to execute an agreement with King County to provide water quality monitoring lab services and volunteer training for sample collection on Lake Sawyer.
Second.
Is there any further discussion?
Seth, we publish these findings on the webpage somewhere, right?
We do.
Link to where King County publishes them or something, right?
Yes. Yeah, and we're working on our website, so we'll, as we improve our website, these things will be easier for people to find.
Okay. No, I just want to make sure we make this information public.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, thank you. This summer's testing won't come out, the annual report won't come out till mid-year next year.
So any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is an emergency ordinance adding a new section to Chapter 8.16 of the Municipal Code relating to construction activity during the COVID-19 pandemic. Mr. Linehan.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. So this item before you tonight is being presented to you as an emergency ordinance emergency having two separate meanings here this evening. One is in response to the COVID-19 pandemic and the state of emergency and the governor's emergency proclamation. This relates to the ability of the city to enforce the job site safety requirements that the governor and the construction industry have worked out as being appropriate job site safety protocols for the phase one construction restart that the governor authorized, I believe it was last week, but their days are all kind of blending together. So as the governor's order authorizing this phase one construction restart stated, Department of Labor and Industries, he has authorized the Department of Labor and Industries to kind of be the statewide enforcement arm for making sure that these protocols, safety protocols, are followed by contractors on construction sites. But as we all know, you know, Labor and Industries only has so many people on the ground, only has so many personnel to look out for potential violations and ensure that these protocols are being followed. And so in order to better provide for the safety of Black Diamond community residents, the safety of Black Diamond staff, and particularly inspectors who go on job sites to monitor and inspect activities, construction activities, what we have put together here in combination with Barbara Kincaid and Andy Williamson and Seth and with the mayor is an emergency ordinance that would give a new authority in the Black Diamond Municipal Code under the public nuisance code enforcement provisions to enforce those COVID-19 phase one construction job site safety requirements. Right now, we have a generic public nuisance provision in our code that defines a number of things as public nuisances. What this ordinance would do would add one more definition or one more category of public nuisance definition to the code so that any failure to adhere to the governor's requirements for job site safety could be enforced if necessary, if Labor and Industries is not engaging or they don't have people available or personnel available on the ground. This would allow our inspection staff that are already on the ground to be able to spot violations, and if severe enough and necessary enough and compliance isn't quickly forcoming, this would allow staff to pursue a code enforcement action or a nuisance abatement action under our code to make sure that those protocols are adhered to. I mentioned that there's two emergency aspects to this. One is, as we're currently operating under kind of a modified Open Public Meetings Act protocol here, we're doing this video. The council is limited to doing things that are in a narrow category of items. And one of the items that you're allowed to do in this protocol is to adopt measures necessary to respond to the COVID-19 emergency. And so this would be directly related to the city's response to the COVID-19 emergency by giving city staff the enforcement authority over those COVID-19 safety protocols. The second emergency aspect of this is in order for an ordinance, normally an ordinance isn't effective until 5 days after it's been published. So the council votes on an ordinance, if it passes, it's published in the paper, and then it's effective 5 days later. By adopting this as an emergency ordinance, it can be effective immediately. But what the statutes require for it to be effective immediately is that it has to be a vote of a majority plus one. So if there are 4 votes for this, it will go into effect 5 days after publication. If there are 5 votes or more for this, it can take effect immediately and give that enforcement authority right away. So that's what this is about. I'm happy to answer questions. It's a very simple code change. It's just adding one definitional item to the current list of public nuisance definitions.
David, will we be working with LNI? Would we then see a company that's not following the rule? And then give them a warning or say, you know, that they'll be reported to LNI, or are we just giving the warning and then hoping that they follow suit and go with the rule? And then if they violate it again, then there's more steps?
So I'll let Barb Kincaid answer that on specifically on how the department would act. I think just as a legal matter, the way this would work would be supplemental authority. So if LNI is unavailable or not engaging, this would give a backstop, if you will, to let the city try to obtain compliance. But I'll let Barb address exactly how she would go, her group would go about doing that.
Okay.
David, that's right. It's a basically, I guess I think of it as being able to backfill. LNI, what we would do is we're looking if there's something that we need to report to LNI. We see a violation. My inspectors are taking pictures. We would send that, and we haven't had any yet. Everyone has been really good out there. But we would send that picture and make that complaint to the LNI. And to be truthful, I don't know what to expect from the response from LNI because this is all new. And I don't know if they do respond or how easy it is to get a response out of them. But we would obviously give LNI the chance to respond because they are the primary authority to deal with this issue. But at the same time, if we find that nothing happens and our inspectors, you know, this job site has more than one contractor working out there. So to be able to keep all the other contractors who are compliant working and not in danger, we would just shut down that particular contractor or that one job site until we could resolve the matter, but everyone else could continue to work.
Okay. So I make a motion to adopt emergency ordinance number 20-1140, adding a new subsection to chapter 8.16 to the municipal code relating to the construction activity during the COVID-19 pandemic, providing for servability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Looks like your motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
Yep.
The next item is a resolution accepting the Department of Commerce Action Plan grant. Ms. Kincaid.
Thank you, Council. Thank you, Mayor. So this is resolution 21353, and it is a resolution that would allow the mayor to sign a grant agreement between the City of Black Diamond and the Washington State Department of Commerce for a $50,000 grant to develop a housing action plan. If you remember, when we did our whole periodic update last year, we recognized that while we have a lot of housing units coming on board, we may have a gap between affordable housing or housing that's available for people with special needs. This particular grant was let from Commerce it's interesting because we have a different problem, but they were looking to find ways in municipal codes to increase densities. We don't exactly have the problem. We're not trying to find tools and strategies to increase density, to increase the actual housing units. What we need to do is look at inventories of what we have currently, the age of the structures, condition of the structures, and what's coming online, and look at how that will serve all demographics in our population, all income levels. So this would be a grant where we would go out for a consultant to help us do this plan, and it would look at the inventory and go through the typical planning process, and what we would end up with is strategies, implementation strategy, and recommendations to look at. They'll look at our comprehensive plan policies in our housing element. They'll look at our development regulations and help us figure out if there is something that the city can do to make sure that our housing distribution is equitable for all the population.
Thank you.
Any questions?
So just to recap a little bit, because this feels like a really long time ago that we were even able to discuss this, the purpose for especially using this grant for this means is because $50,000 would certainly not do a lot in the very short, immediate, you know, short term for actual housing needs or housing affordability, but it would at least help us with that long-term planning, especially as, at least for right now, housing prices are clearly continuing to rise and that there's that scarcity of affordable housing. So this is the $50,000 where we're trying to at least figure out our next steps. Is that more or less what we're saying here?
Yeah, it's an action plan. So it will come out with implementation strategies, and those strategies will include perhaps we can do something with our policies in our comp plan that reduce barriers or encourage affordable housing units to be built in our city. And it'll also look at our development regulations for potential barriers to being able to have developers come in and get permits to create affordable housing units.
So as Barb said, we've been talking about this for quite a while. So it's exciting to see that we finally get a grant, because we do have an aging population and a lot of people in the city would like, you know, some affordable housing. And I think this will be a great step to move forward. So with that, I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1355, authorizing the mayor to execute an inter
53 Tammy 1353
yep, sorry, authorizing the mayor to execute an interagency agreement with the Washington State Department of Commerce Growth Management Services for a $50,000 grant to develop a housing action plan.
Second.
Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, one question, Barb, do we work with the department? Is the $50,000 to work with a outside consultant, or is it people from the State Department we work with? What do we spend the $50,000 on? Have we identified a partner?
No. So we have a scope of work that we developed, that I developed with the Department of Commerce that was acceptable to them. So what I will need to do is go out for a consultant process to select a consultant to do the work, but I would be the grant manager. So I'm working directly with the Department of Commerce. The consultant would be doing the work and reporting to me. And so the way that this grant works is we expend the expense, and then we do quarterly reports and they reimburse us.
Okay. Do they give us a pre-populated list of?
They had to approve the initial scope of work that was attached to my application.
Okay, but they don't give us a list of people to go out to RFP for?
No.
They don't approved list of consultants or anything?
No. They don't have, there's no strings like that. We get to go out and select the consulting team that we feel is the best for us.
Oh, good. Okay, great. All right, that was all. Thank you.
Okay, so any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item is a resolution accepting King County Youth and Sports Grant. Ms. Kincaid.
Thank you, Mayor. So it's been such a long time since we were all together in the council chambers, but way back when Council Member Dunn came in, gave us talked about the state of the King County. And I don't know if you guys remember him mentioning like, oh, by the way, we've got some money for you. So we followed up with that. And he had set aside $5,000 for the city of Black Diamond under this King County Youth and Amateur Sports Grant Program. And so if you approve resolution 21354 this evening, it would authorize the mayor to enter into an agreement to accept with the $5,000 from the King County Parks Department. And we worked with this, the planning committee. We talked about, well, what would be the best use for this $5,000. And in that grant that we wrote, or the description of how we would use the monies, we identified that the city gym needed equipment. So we would accept this $5,000 and would immediately expend it on equipment, new equipment, and needed things for the gymnasium to make, you know, to make it more activities that are available for our youth in the community. And then once we spend that, we turn the receipts in to King County Parks and they reimburse us for that.
Councilmember Deedy.
So if we were back in council session, Brock would have talked a little bit about this, but we definitely, in rental, you know, we get families that want to rent the gym. We have birthday parties. We get teams that are in there. And some of the things that we're in need of was, you know, like a new volleyball net, new volleyballs, new basketballs, some other, you know, fun equipment in there for, you know, encouraging families to do birthday parties in there. Another big thing is a scoreboard for basketball games, for volleyball games. So there was quite a bit of tossing around on things that we could use that money for. It's, you know, once you start looking at equipment and what it all costs, it's not that much, but it certainly will get us, you know, a few things to help us a little bit, make the gym a little more pleasing to people to rent.
Councilmember De Leon.
Yeah, and I think just to kind of echo those points, because it was a really nice, robust conversation, I would say, because the thing is, it's $5,000, which, you know, can really go in the blink of an eye. It's in the grand scheme of things, when we're talking about parks, $5,000 is really, really helpful, but this isn't one of those things where we're going to completely overhaul a new park. So that was what I recall part of the reason why we came to that decision, was because of all the kind of items that Councilmember Deedy listed, things like the scoreboard or new, just everyday items that could be used. And I think as part of that conversation, we also talked about, say, even inviting Councilmember Dunn for a ceremony to celebrate this new equipment. And who knows when that'll be in light of the circumstances, but I think that would be a really great opportunity to invite him back and see how this money is being put to really great use. Wow.
Councilmember Deedy.
So that's correct. We were talking about bringing him back, and I think it was when we bought the scoreboard, because that was, you know, that was a big item that will take up most of the money, but it's one that's needed. So definitely when that gets in and we get it put up, we'll have Reagan done in to see it and photo op for him.
Right. And that is important to him and his aides that we've been in contact with.
Correct. So with that, I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1354, authorizing the mayor to execute a grant agreement with King County Parks to accept a $5,000 grant to purchase new gym equipment.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So the last item is a resolution accepting the Port of Seattle Economic Development Grant. Ms. Kincaid.
This resolution before you, 21355, is a grant. It would authorize the mayor to enter into a grant agreement with the Port of Seattle. The Port of Seattle is granting us $5,000. The city needs to match that for $2,500, but that can be in kind. And this is something that Andy Williamson and I worked on together. When Mr. Bill Campbell donated that property on Railroad next to the museum, we saw an opportunity, because now this is a little piece of property that the city owns, to try to do what we've been planning and talking about, you know, to increase the livability and make the little downtown area a place where people can gather. And so the land donation with this money will allow us to start that planning process. We're thinking hold a charrette, public participation. In our mind, we see this as seed money to start that planning process about what should we use this property for. In our mind, we think, well, it would be great to build a deck and cantilever that deck out, put some picnic tables, make a public gathering space, but we don't really know, where there's no decisions made. This would just be the money to get started on that public process.
Councilmember Deedy.
So
this is exciting to get this as well, and to get a place downtown in Old Town for people to gather and to, you know, enjoy the weather, enjoy the amenities down there with the museum and all the businesses. So, you know, I would love to see it as a little park area, you know, do that decking, you know, cantilever it out, have some picnic tables, have a little area, you know, for summer concerts or something, you know, right there. So it will be fun to hear what the community wants to do with that and what everybody's ideas are. So I'm really looking forward to getting this started.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Councilmember Didi. This is an awesome opportunity for this money to come to us and use it in a great way. I also look forward to the residents giving their input on how we should use this. I have heard, and I think we might have discussed a little bit in our committee about possibly, you know, even thinking about a memorial to our veterans, our local veterans, our fallen veterans, even though we also already have a memorial for our fallen coal miners in that general area. It'd be nice to maybe a tribute to fallen veterans as well. But of course, you know, that's always up for discussion, and welcoming the citizens' opinions on it is good too, because I imagine whatever we do to that area is going to make it a really great place for the community to gather and celebrate and spend time together.
I make a motion to adopt resolution 2013-1355 authorizing the mayor to execute a partnership agreement with the Port of Seattle to accept a $5,000 grant to conduct a public process on how to use the city's parcel on Railroad Avenue next to the museum for a public gathering space.
Second.
Yes, is there any further discussion? Councilmember Page, did you have a, no? Councilmember DeLeon.
Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to jog my memory a little bit on this particular item as well. I think what we also discussed in this committee meeting was that we were going to find ways to also do more outreach for getting those recommendations for the park. That was going to be a big part of how we would use the grant and how we would be trying to find that public opinion. Is this also the correct grant that we were talking about for that?
I think if I understand your question, yes, because what this would be used for would be to organize. I mean, it's not a lot of money, obviously, but be able to organize some public outreach. And when I use the word charrette, that's kind of that lingo for we get together and we do some, you know, sketching and try to get people to give us some ideas about how they think we should design or use that property, correct, as a public park.
Yes.
Chris, you're muted.
Sorry about that. I would recommend we also include the local merchants and the local arts group to include in that process, right?
Right.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. So now it's time for department reports. Most of the departments turned in reports, and May turned in a report, but Ms. Miller would like to go over her budgeting and forecasting that she's been doing the last couple of weeks. So Ms. Miller? Hello, May.
How do I unmute?
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Mayor Benson, Council, David, everybody. It's great to be talking to you. It's been a long time. So I have a report, and I'm going to try to make sure I can get this up. All right. Let's see. That report is not up, right?
Not yet.
Is it up?
You got it to work today.
I know. I'm like, oh, what am I doing?
You go down to share your screen, May.
Okay. Let me see.
Down at the bottom.
Oh, yes. I remember. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Where is my report? Not it. Sorry. Just about there. Is it there now?
Nope.
It's the same thing I did earlier.
Did you accept to share the screen after you put it up?
Oh, I don't know how you do that.
It asks.
Share screen. Share screen. And then what?
And then you put it on the document that you want, and then it asks you to confirm to share that.
I've got it on the document I want, but I don't know how to get it to share.
Okay, let me see if I can put it up for you, May.
All right, thank you.
Can you guys see it?
There we go.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. So this is a report that has several things on it. It's a pretty busy report, but I wanted to have you look at the fourth quarter, which is the first column, and that's how we ended last year. And since we hadn't been able to have any meetings where I could give you this report, I wanted to share that with you and not go over all the numbers today. But if you go down to line 7, you'll see we took in $1,775,000, almost $776,000 last year. And that was a really good year for the city, a record year for revenues. So our revenue came in definitely over budget last year. And how do I get it to scroll, Brenda?
You don't. I do. You have to tell me.
Oh,
when
okay.
You
need- scroll down to the bottom. And you'll see on line 47, we ended the year with a fund balance of $3.5 million. And our 17% was about $1.1 million. So we were definitely had carryover cash. If you want to go back up to the top, Brenda. So if you look at the yellow columns, I put last year's first quarter because of the virus and us being closed part of the time, I wanted to show you how last year's first quarter revenue compared to this year's first quarter revenue. So all the yellow down to line 17. Last year, we brought in $918,000 in operating revenue, and this year, $1,000,001. So we were $277,000 higher in revenue just for the first 3 months of the year. And if you look up that column, you'll see it was all in land use and building permits. 260,000 of it. So we're really doing good in the building area, and that really adds to the 250,000 or the $3.5 million of cash fund balance. So we're doing really well. If you want to scroll down to the bottom again, Brenda, you'll see that our expenditures on line 40, we're only at 18%. So we're a little bit higher than we were last year, and that's mainly because now we have an extra person in the building inspector, and the police have an extra person. So we're doing really well, and I just wanted to point that out and have you have a copy of that so you could see not only how we ended last year, but how the first three quarters of this first 3 months of this year ended. So if you could go to the next slide, Brenda. So I wanted to put together, how will the virus hurt us, what it's going to do to our revenue, and what are some of the assumptions I want to use. So, you know, when the governor said, stay home, stay safe, the city was closed in March. and we were closed until May 5th. So there wasn't much revenue coming in during that time. So that definitely would have an impact. But what I knew was that we were going to stabilize because our cash carry forward was so good and our first quarter was so good, and that the governor, first thing they opened then was the new construction and building activity. But I looked at other primary big dollar revenue, and one is our property tax. It's about $1,800,000. And the King County has said, well, you can pay your property taxes a little late. He's only authorized a deferral from April to June, and that was only for people who were paying that not through a mortgage agency, paying it themselves. So that will come, the cash will come in a little bit slower then, and we don't know if this goes on, if you'll defer it again. Last year, we had about 24,000 outstanding, and I'm saying, well, we might have people that are deferred or can't pay their property tax. So I increased that and said, well, we may be short 113,000 in cash for next year. We'll eventually get that money, because even if a person loses their house and goes into foreclosure, the banks have to eventually pay that, but there's kind of a lag. And in a cash city, we can't count that money until it comes into King County and they give it to us. So it's kind of a slowdown of revenue in this area. The sales tax, last year we collected $939,242. And our first quarter of this year, we were already 41% over last year. So our sales tax is doing really good. We also have received our April sales tax. So we have a really good start in sales tax. This money that we got even in April is only for February sales. So we will have a couple of slow months, but we're starting out way ahead. So I'm saying that we'll pretty much be on budget next year because of the strong first quarter we had and the fact that we're starting up with the building activity right away, which produces most of our sales tax revenue. So our development fees, again, that's really good news. And I'm saying that we will collect $1,100,000 this year through December, and that's down from last year, but still over budget. Last year we collected the $1,700,000. In the area of police, traffic, school, and even court fees, I think that we'll lose maybe $97,000 over the year. Part of it is we're not writing as many tickets right now. The jails are not taking a lot of new people, and with the virus we want to be safe right now, so there's not as much traffic school people because we're not writing as many tickets. And the court, I think the people will just have a hard time paying their fines even if we issue the fines. So together, I assume that might be a loss of around $97,000. And then there's miscellaneous other revenue. It's not substantial, but I want to point out that right now the gym is closed, and so we're not having revenue from there. I'm not sure, you know, how long it'll be before we get that back open. And the boat launch, just now we've opened it, so it probably will be okay. It was closed for a while, but that was the cooler weather. But probably... also, some of our city events like Minor Days or Tough Mudder, if we're not able to have those, we could lose some money there, but it's a pretty small amount. But on the positive side, one of the revenue things we probably will be able to get is some reimbursement for our virus costs. And we've got word that we're eligible for around $135,000. We don't yet have the forms, and we haven't gathered up all the costs, but that'll be on the positive side, but that will just cover expenditures we already have. So, Brenda, if you could go to the next page. So I put together a new chart saying, hey, what does that mean? I put 2020 budget in the first column, and this is, again, revenue only. And then this is how much we received January through March, and this is draft because we haven't entirely closed all three of those months. I think our interest income isn't in there. It's not that much, but it's it'll be increased once we get those numbers. But then I went ahead and estimated where we might be based on those earlier assumptions. So you'll see on the far right column that, again, that's our property tax, the $113,000. Again, that would just be late cash that we probably would defer into next year. And the small amount increase in sales tax, the utility and gambling tax. Utilities are down some because all utilities pay on gross revenue. That means also all your late fees, your fines and late fees. Puget Sound is not collecting those, so they won't pay utility tax on the revenue they're not collecting, nor are we having those fines. So even our own utility tax will be down. So I estimated we'll have a bit of a loss there, and we won't recover that. Sales tax assistance is pretty small, and I assume we'll get about what we did last year. And police criminal justice, that comes from the state, and sometimes if they're short of revenue, they short what they give us. So I put just a small loss in that. The development revenue, that's really our biggest amount, and that's where I said in the third column over through December that we might get $1,000,001. That's $283,000 over our budget and still way less than what we took in last year. So we could exceed that, but every month it will change and every month we'll have a new projection. We may get a little less in plan check because some of the builders may do register permits and then they don't have to repay plan checks. And then I wasn't really sure in the miscellaneous permitting fees or land use fees. So I put just a small amount in there. But overall, that whole area, we're going to be ahead around $200,000. License and franchise fees. Our cable is coming in good. I think a lot of people are not necessarily canceling their cable anymore because they're home and they need to do something. Business licenses is an odd one because last year we did our own renewals and collected our own money. And this year, the state is collecting those, and we collected all of them by April, and they're doing all year long. So we won't really know till end of year, but I assume some businesses will not make it and will not renew. It looks like our liquor tax is holding strong, and I think with people at home, we're not going to lose money there. Grants and passport revenue, that was a one-time only court grant last year we're not going to receive, and right now we don't have the staff to do passport, so I'm not sure we'll collect that revenue this year. Our interest, the interest rates are down. We're definitely going to lose some funds this year on the interest because of the lowering of interest rates. On the intergovernmental revenue, again, this is the court that I assume they will be down. Police traffic school will be less. I'm looking again at the far right column. Police grants, I talked to Jamie after I put this together, and she said they probably will receive all the full grants they turn in for, and that will cover their expenditures. So there may not be a loss in that area. And then I put this reimbursement in there. Even though we're eligible for $135,000, I'm not sure what our total costs are going to be or if we'll, you know, if we'll get it all this year. I understand it goes through December, and I'm not sure if they reimburse all of it in December or if it would carry over till January. MDRT, they get all of their budget. If they don't have as many expenditures, this would go down, but so would the expenditures. So I didn't show a loss there. And then the parks and cemetery, I just put a small loss because of the closure. So overall, the total is an increase of $37,900. And this report is a hard one to do because no matter what you do, tomorrow it's going to change and you'll find some new information. So what I'll do is try to keep you updated as I go along and as we go along through this and I get new information. As soon as I close April, we'll have better information and I can relook at this and try to get back to you. So, Brenda, could you go to the last graph? So the last graph shows kind of at the top part of it how much our sales tax has been coming in, and we've already received April. So we're 41% ahead of last year. So you can go over to the monthly amount and look where we were monthly last year. And every single month we've been higher. Again, that's because of the strong building activity. A few months down, we'll see some loss, but I said, well, what if we went back to 2015 and we were only getting 25,000 and put that in there, we would still be over budget. So I think we'll meet the budget on sales tax this year. And I just wanted to put that up there to try to demonstrate how I came about all these numbers and everything. But I'm really excited to bring you guys this information. We're going to be probably next council meeting, come back with more funds and more analysis that we put together. But does anybody have any questions or anything? Tammy?
So, well, I would just say, May, excellent job, because I know
we've
all been wondering, you know, how is the city financially, how is this COVID-19 hurting us, you know, where are we going to need to adjust the budget this year, you know, what's happening. So I was really pleased to see this, and kudos to you for putting all this work into it. It looks like a lot of work.
Yeah, well, it was a little hard because we were closed down for a while, and now we're up. And boy, I just want to thank the mayor and Brenda and Rob for getting me all up and going. So thank you all, and you'll be hearing from me again. And you, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, May.
Thank you, May. So I don't believe there's anybody else that wanted to give an in-person report. Was there any other person that wanted to give a department report? So we have selected a committee to look at the three proposals that we got on doing the fire study. And today at public safety, Jamie thought it would be a good idea if Chief Smith was part of the selection committee, because he might understand some technical stuff that the committee that we selected. So it's going to be myself, Andy Williams, May Miller, Tammy Deedy, and Chief Smith will be sitting in on those meetings. He's going to try to read the three contracts or the three proposals over the weekend, and May is going to try to read them over the weekend, and then we'll have a Zoom meeting sometime next week and discuss who we want to interview and what it's going to look like. And so we plan on moving this thing along as fast as we can, so that we can start this study and get going, so that we don't lose a whole bunch of ground because of the COVID-19. If you don't have any questions, it's time for the council report. So Councilmember Oglesby, I think you're first.
Great, thank you, Mayor. I would like to start my council report with my personal opinion about respond to Councilmember DeLeon's statement from previous. My statement goes as, I feel your bullying demands to have Councilmember Wisnowski and Nelson removed from their seats is quite extreme. You said, now, no, I will do everything in my power to ensure our city suffers the embarrassment of being represented by these reckless ideologies no longer. You also said, I strongly desire that we do not have to pursue legal actions. And their choice to attend the rally reflects a truly dangerous lack of judgment. These types of statements are very hateful, in my opinion. To accuse anyone of acts of violence and be part of a neo-Nazi group from a photograph, to me, is far more reckless and lacking in judgment. Which part of your statement, Council DeLeon, supports your resolution for a welcoming and inclusive city? I believe your social media work and false accusations toward others is unprofessional and does not represent or speak for the city of Black Diamond or other council members. As we should all be reminded as council members to practice respectful behavior and follow the council rules and procedures. With that being said, we are all experiencing this virus for the very first time together. I believe the outcome of this is unknown. I also believe the guidelines and recommendations announced by the state and our city representatives are in goodwill. The suggestions and helpful resources lessen the impact of the virus to each other. I believe we should all do our best to be respectful to others' decisions when it comes to their rights and beliefs. I feel we should be asking ourselves, how can we support each other and our city rather than attacking each other? Families, local businesses, cities across the state are desperately struggling mentally and financially to survive, and we need our economy to resume as soon as possible. Black Diamond is a nonpartisan, and we took an oath to uphold the Constitution. I believe this current council represents a variety of residents with different nationalities, religion beliefs, and politic views. I feel it's in the best interest for our residents to work together toward our city, for our city's goals, major projects, and infrastructure improvements for our future without distraction of personal opinions. I will send my letter to Brenda for my public statement so my words are not I'll send this to the city so you guys have it on record. So with that being said, let's get back to business. So my council report with my committee today included court. I attended a safety committee meeting today and reporting back to that court, they have reported that they will be starting a Zoom platform for court hearings in the near future. Their first one will be held next Wednesday. Judge Swan says that everything is manageable and they're not behind on things and they're doing very well in the court area. What else do I have? They're also working on getting more information about putting papers online, documents, sharing information online. And they're looking to see how much that would cost and how we can maybe share expenses with other cities. Just looking into it, but not really making any big decisions, but she'll come back to us later in the future regarding how that looks. I think Mayor Benson, you did report a little bit more on the fire. The only thing I have to add to that is that the fire did state that the fire truck is on schedule, which I'm excited for to report. And I think a lot of you guys did read the reports that the departments did send. So a lot of this could be repetitive, being that they did report already. But it does look like the police will be doing marine control and patrol this weekend over Lake Sawyer, being it's going to be a beautiful weekend. So they'll start that a little bit earlier than expected. Chief did also mention that National Night Out possibly will be moved out to September, but not sure depending on how things go in the future. Other than that, I just highly encourage all residents and people to support your local businesses. That is so important. There's so many businesses out there that are suffering and might not even be able to make it out of this pandemic. And it's very important that we do everything in our best to support those local businesses. They support their families. And what is essential to one is not essential to the other. And I feel it's very important to make sure that they can survive out of this. And it's our duty to do that for them. And that's my report.
Thank you, Councilmember Wisnowski.
I too attended the safety committee today. It was great to hear that we're moving forward with the fire study. Also great to hear that the truck progress has not stopped. Good to see that the judge is moving forward with keeping things flowing pretty smoothly with the Zoom court and looking at O-Court to in the future possibly. We suggested maybe we could look into maybe getting some COVID-19 emergency funding to help with that, possibly if we partner with some other cities. I think that'd be great. And I think, you know, the probably, I heard a squeak, sorry. I think that, you know, it's a difficult time for the for all of our departments, right? They're all trying to adjust to this new normal, especially the court and our first responders. And I think we just need to be there to support them the best we can. I truly believe that the people of Black Diamond will see past all this politics, and that's exactly what it is, right? And realize that we all need to work together as a council to make sure that we have a bright future here in Black Diamond. We've got a lot of things to work on, and politics isn't one of them. I put my hand out across the aisle to all of my fellow council members and promise that I will work with you on anything that is city business. Otherwise, you can do all the TV spots you want. You can put all the newspaper articles you want, but it's not going to do the city's business, and that's what we're here to do. So as we move forward through this, right, we're all going to have to learn this new normal. We're going to have to adjust to the opening phases and stuff like that. We have a lot of local businesses that are hurting, right? I've stopped and talked to a lot of our local businesses as I've patronized them throughout the last few weeks, and they're hurting. I mean, and these are people that their whole life is their business, right? It's not like they're an employee. No, this is their life, right? Some of them may have been doing it for, you know, years, or, you know, there are folks that have been doing it for decades, and they could lose all of that. So we need to keep that in mind as we move forward, right? All of these jobs are essential. All of these folks need our help. So please go out and patronize your local businesses. Go out and say hi to your neighbors and enjoy Black Diamond.
Council Member Stout.
I'd like to make a statement also about what I've been thinking about since our last council meeting. A few years ago, there was so much discord on the city council that I, as a citizen, attended many meetings in which, for most of the 4 hours, the only thing that was discussed was accepting or not accepting the agenda. And no work got done in many of those meetings. It was really painful to be there. And I joined the council in order to bring peace and stability and civility to the council so it could accomplish the work of the city. We have accomplished those goals and have worked in harmony for more than 2 years. There has recently been a disruption on the city council that threatens to return us to that us against them mentality. And there has been enough disruption, and I would encourage all of us to move forward with our responsibilities on our committees in support of the staff and getting the best outcomes for Black Diamond residents. I would like to refer each of the council members to our council rules to refresh your memory about addressing council members with courtesy. That's one of our council rules. We have a rule about making public statements and about publicly expressing the views of other council members without their permission. Our council rules were brought forward and revised extensively. We spent quite a few work study sessions to fine-tune our council rules so that we would have a nice set of very clear rules about how we would act as council members in the city of Black Diamond. So I refer you back to those council rules. They're a little bit hard to find if you don't have a hard copy. If you go to the homepage of the website and look at the council, there's a little link to the council rules, and I think that's the best way for you to find them. It just might do well for each of us to pull those out and read those pages again. And that's the end of my statement. I did report to you last meeting that my daughter was desperately ill with an unknown virus. She was actually tested negative for the coronavirus, but strangely enough, she seemed to have had a virus that had the exact same symptoms as the coronavirus, but we think that maybe she got tested either a little too early or wrong, you know, an improper test. And I'm just reporting to you, since I brought that up before, that she's been sick for about 6 weeks, and she has 5 children. All of her children have taken turns being ill, not as ill as she was. Thank goodness the children fared a little bit better. Her oldest son was pretty sick for quite a while, but the other ones did quite a lot better. And the reason I'm telling you this is because there is hope. You know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. She called me Monday and she said, "I think that we are a household without symptoms." So it's just a blessing that people really do get better. And I know that many of you have offered thoughts and prayers for my daughter, Holly Rose, and I really appreciate that. I haven't attended any council meetings. I've just mostly spent my time thinking and pondering about what I want to do as a member of the city council and what my responsibilities are and how I want to work with each of you to keep this city really moving. I'm so grateful for May Miller's report that sounds pretty bright concerning our finances. And I'm not sure that that's going to be the case, you know, going forward. There may be some changes or some downturns, but we can move forward in this city and do the best we can. Keep doing our projects, keep taking care of our roads, keep taking care of our elderly people, keep reaching out to our neighbors, and we'll have the same good black diamond that we've had all along. So that's the end of my council report. Thank you.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. So I will speak first to some of the additional comments that were brought forth during the council reports. I do want to address that I am saddened that we see this as either bullying or politicking. Well, I guess not even just either, but politicking, bullying, or even a throwback to a few years ago. I think there's plenty of room on the council for that kind of disagreement, and I hope that we can find ways that going forward we can continue to dialogue and disagree about different things. But I do stand by what I said in the last council session, including and especially the fact that what caused great concern was citizens writing in and my concern for public health and safety. Yes, this is an incredibly difficult time for all of us. This is stressful, and this is stressful for a number of businesses included. I also worry in my own day-to-day work and occupation what that means to be working with a variety of people, and also to be and with people who are also caring for very vulnerable loved ones. And that was also a huge influence in why I felt that the decision to attend a large gathering during a pandemic was inherently a wrong and dangerous decision. I don't expect us to agree with everything all the time. That is not my point. My point was public health and safety and the kind of message it sends to our community when we choose to go about expressing our opinions in ways that harm others. And so that was the really big reason why I put that out there. Yes, I'm also incredibly concerned still about what I also saw as the nature of the protest in terms of who also was attending. And I just ask that, you know, we are still at the end of the day going to be representatives of our city. And especially when we are in a very large public gathering of a political nature, that we just have to keep that in mind. So that is where that was rooted and coming from, was that interest in public health and safety. I ask that we continue to work on that. I realize that there is a lot more city business to address than just this. But this pandemic adds an extra layer of that kind of concern to already serious issues going on. So I appreciate the comments made so far from our council members. I do stand by what I said, but I also understand the importance in continuing to work on a variety of other matters. I know that that did stem from citizen concern, though. I also do want to address the fact that I am concerned about some of the things that were also happening in the city of Black Diamond. I do hope that we can act on also as a collective group, as a council, to condemn the increase in hate speech that's been vandalized, you know, the vandalism that's been in our historic downtown. I don't think those are our city's values, and nor do I think that saying nothing about it is going to make that problem go away. There might be more work to do with that in the future, but I've made those statements already, so I'm not going to express it any further than that, but just say that I see it and I don't accept it, and I would think that a lot of us here also are of that same mindset. So that's also part of it. Also, I think one last thing about that is I understand that also with this pandemic, we've had a lot of times when we couldn't really have really quality opportunities to work and talk with each other. And I really appreciate the council members who have taken time so far already to meet more face-to-face, or now at least by phone, because face-to-face isn't as possible, so that we can actually talk with each other. I do think that's a value. And you know, that's why at the end of my things that I've written, I always leave my phone number. I want this to be a dialogue. I don't want this to be a one-sided, one-way street here. So that's, I think, the end of what I would say with that. And then I will move on to some other important city business. One thing that I guess I would also just talk about a little bit is actually just about the ongoing discussions with how we do plat approvals. And I know I had a nice conversation earlier with Mr. Williamson about what that would look like, because I'm still kind of weighing my opinion about what that would look like in terms of how we make these decisions going forward. On one hand, I really believe in the importance of equitable enforcement, but I also appreciate that when it's brought to council, it also does bring that to the forefront of our mind about how we're looking at city planning going forward. So I don't know yet what my opinion is like, or where I would fully stand on the matter, but I always really appreciate that kind of conversation where I can get a better understanding about what it looks like to really approve of these, of the growth in the city going forward. So that's that part. I also really appreciate what Mae Miller has been saying already on future, on our finances. I am curious about the future of our revenue sources and how we diversify that going forward. That's a question that we were raising far before this pandemic hit and the kind of uncertainty, economic uncertainty that that's caused. But I am really hoping that going forward, we can think about ways that we can diversify the way that Black Diamond continues to grow financially as well. So looking forward to that conversation whenever that does happen. I've attended the Public Works Committee hearings. One thing that I wasn't able to say earlier during our council session, but I just really wanted to impress on, is the importance of that interlocal water agreement. I feel like during those conversations, we had some really good questions that were answered, hence why I think this was able to move so quickly tonight. Did spend a lot of time reading through it and trying to grasp what that means, because to me, at least, and I feel like that's kind of another fairly common understanding, is 20 years is a very long agreement. And to me, I wanted to kind of proceed with a little bit of caution to begin with, just because that's also dealing with a very precious commodity, that's water. It's hard to say what 20 years in the future will look like, but I think our public works crew did a really good job, and past work has already been put in to really make sure that we are making sure that our small city is still protected when we're in this kind of an agreement. So props there. And same thing also with water quality and those issues as well surrounding the lake. I think that's most of them what I was going to put out there for the time being. But again, my lines are open and I'm really happy to continue a conversation with any and all here. So thank you. And that's the end of my report.
Council Member Nelson.
You're mute, Pat.
You need to unmute yourself.
All right, there we go. I was just saying the sun went down. I got cold. I had to grab a sweater. there's been enough addressing of stuff. I'm not going to address stuff that's behind us. One thing I want to really stress forward Social media is a huge thing. There's people on this council that have talked about how they want to use it for the good. One thing I'm doing on a private page, not saying I'm a council member, just to support the community, is asking people what local businesses they're going to and how they, where to go. And it's been a huge response from restaurants to coffee shops to, I mean, the local businesses really enjoy hearing people say where they go, whether it be CJ's who catered our lunch the other day, or Gracine's, or the coffee shops, or the teriyaki shop. I think they've all got money for me this week just because I was trying to help out. I think we need to focus on the positive of the city, how great our city's doing, what amazing amenities our cities have. During the safety committee meeting, it was great to hear that they're gonna, you know, have the boat on the lake to enforce, because with it being as high as it's gonna be, there's gonna be a lot of boats on the lake. Sorry about the train in the background. and I think that the lake is gonna be just packed with people that are just kind of wanting to get away. I do wanna stress, if you have a social media page for the city that you put out, just because it's 80 outside, the water is still freaking cold. It doesn't take nothing for you to drown in cold water. It's not a thing that to take lightly. You know, people are gonna get on their jet skis and get on their boats and fall off. And having the guys on the water to protect us is great, but we just need to make sure we take care of the community as well. And I, you know, the reports today with the fire truck going forward, Min Miller's report on how, you know, in all the doom and gloom we see on the media and everything else, our city's doing great. We've got an amazing city. I'm sitting here watching families walk by with their kids, and, you know, the road I live on is kind of a quiet road, so there's probably been 15, 20 families that have walked by just since we started this Zoom meeting. And it just, that's Black Diamond. That's why I moved here. You know, Aaron, it's really good to hear about your daughter. That was really been in my family's thoughts. And I just want to say, listen, you guys don't understand how awesome this city is. We've had headaches. We've gone up and down. But we've got one of the best cities around, and that's why I'm there 17 years later. I'm not going nowhere. I'm here to make sure the city is safe, make sure the residents are happy. And I'm not going to be on the lake because it's too cold yet. But you guys just keep doing what you're doing. If you need anything, my number's public. I will always be there for you. Just thank you for being a great city. I'm done.
Councilmember Page.
Yeah, well, so I feel a little bit like I'm entering a minefield with bare feet on the things that I want to address. I don't want to beleaguer the points of the last meeting. I think we're getting up and running. I think it's great that we're having these Zoom meetings. And I'm going to make comments and don't read too much into them because I'm kind of transparent on how I feel most of the time. I think the meetings, the council meetings were long overdue. And I think that it's also time for the city to start implementing ways to start operating, given the fact that we have a pandemic, in a safe way. I'm really happy to see that the Community Development Department is going to start opening up online building permits, because you know, if we're doing new construction existing construction on a grand scale, we've got a lot of residents who, and including myself, I'll be totally transparent about that, that have small projects that we've been waiting for a month and a half to try and get going. And it has an economic impact to the builders. It has a carrying cost to our residents. And I think we need to get moving towards that direction. So I'm really pleased to see that. You know, and I don't want anybody to take that as a dig against them, because I really do think we have a great city that operates really well. May, I'm really glad to see what you presented today. It's been weighing really heavily on my mind about how we're going to come out of this tunnel. And so thank you so much for presenting those figures and kind of walking us through that. That really is encouraging to see. I am a little bit concerned about the road project on 288. You know, I drive it every day, so I see it. But it seems like, you know, I've noticed the last week there's been absolutely no activity there. And this is during a time where the work is authorized, but yet people are still staying home. It would seem like that would be the time.
Well, you know, I could give you a little bit of an answer there.
Okay.
They had the paving scheduled, and then they had a problem with their camera shooting the sewer lines. Mm. So they had to reschedule the paving, and now the pavers are paving someplace else, but they will be back maybe next week, I hope.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the update, but it's still a pretty large impact to a lot of residents. It's a pretty major street to be just sitting there and riding over the humps every day. It's not really very safe for the people that are riding their bikes or walking along the street either. So that's just my comment. So moving forward, glad to see that the boat launches back open. I think that, you know, that's kind of a double-edged sword, but I think getting people out on boats is better than getting them sitting in the park congregating, so I guess that's good. I guess just the only other thing I would say is this is a difficult time for everybody. I know that in my family, we've got a little bit of cabin fever, and we're chewing each other's backside, so to speak, if you know what I mean. So I think we all need to recognize that and recognize some of the comments that our previous council members' comments have said, and which is, you know, let's just all kind of get along. Let's not turn a blind eye to what might be, in my opinion, irresponsible decisions, but let's not also make, you know, the old saying, two wrongs don't make a right, you know. Let's try and get along as a council, because I think that's really important for our residents. There was certainly a lot of citizen comments that we've received in the last couple of weeks that were critical of council members, and it wasn't all in one direction, and that's all I'm going to say. I think we all need to do a little soul searching and ask ourselves why we came onto the council. And I know for myself, I came onto the council so that we could move the ball forward for the city. It had stagnated for several years, and I felt like I wanted to be part of moving that forward. So I hope all of my other fellow council members feel that way. So sorry for the long comment. I was going to make them short comments, but it's just the way it is. Thank you. That's my report.
Councilmember Deedy.
Okay, so I attended on Zoom the WIRA 9 meeting. That was about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, on April 30th. I also attended the Public Works meeting on the 28th. And then for the fire study, I did get those three applications. I did read them. And I'm leaning towards two, so I'm excited to hear what everybody else has to say about those applications. I did have a meeting with our city attorney via Zoom with Councilmember Stout. And as you guys are all speaking about, you know, the years of chaos on the council, which I lived through, they were chaos. I just wanted a little bit of a neutral opinion from our city attorney, somebody who's sitting back, you know, getting some emails, you know, saying, hey, what are we going to do with this? You know, how are we going to stop this, you know, from going further? How are we going to, you know, unite our council so that everybody, you know, is cordial, everybody's working together. So David had, you know, really good suggestions for both Councilmember Stout and I. A couple of things for me, you know, as your senior council member, I think I've been pretty lax. I've enjoyed this council as far as not being chaotic and 6-hour, 5-hour meetings, yelling and, you know, all chaos. So I have sat back and I have not, you know, called point of order or, you know, other council rules that we've had. So with that being said, just as Councilmember Stout stated, please read your council rules, understand them. The big one is obviously no calling out council members. First and foremost, if you do have an issue with a council member, do call them, set up a meeting, you know, when you can get back to get meeting, you know, sit down and meet with them. If that doesn't resolve your issue, maybe, you know, contact the mayor, maybe sit down and have a resolution, something that you can figure out how to work through your issue. I think for this rally, I think it's best that we just put it behind us, move forward, understand that we all have our First Amendment rights. We all can go out and do what we want as far as it's legal. So I would just ask that all of us work together on unifying us as a council, working on the city business, putting all issues aside, no attacking each other, and just, you know, move forward. So I just like to thank David. You know, you had a neutral voice there in helping, you know, because I didn't want to live through another 2 years or 4 years with a council that is now bickering and fighting amongst each other. So thank you, David, for helping us, for me and Aaron, and getting us, you know, to understand how to move forward a little bit. So I hope that with that being said, that everybody else will, you know, put this aside, work out our issues privately, you know, amongst each other, if you have an issue with a council member. So with that being said, I also, you know, with the 288th project, I've been looking on Facebook, and I've noticed a lot of people, you know, not happy with that 288th project. You know, granted, it's not our project, but we do have some skin in the game there. One of the things that in the Public Works Committee that I've mentioned several times is to put on the capital improvement plan a sidewalk, you know, a sidewalk for 288th. And I know that there's a lot of families that walk from their housing development or their houses off of 288th to Safeway, to the parks, and they've mentioned that they would love to have a safe place to walk, you know, having a sidewalk on maybe the south part of 288, you know. So I would like to see that get on the CIP, and that would be, you know, the council saying, you know, that they want that to be on the CIP capital improvement plan sidewalk, so that when the grant money comes forward, that the Public Works can then move forward with getting that money. Also, you know, just a little bit of feel good is that the community center is working on doing a drive by and going through the city and going by and showing our love to our seniors and also to our community. Our community has been huge. as far as adding help to our residents, or to our community center, and giving food and money and whatever else is needed at the community center. So in the next couple of weeks, keep an ear out or on Facebook and watch for that to come forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. Do we have an attorney report?
Yes, Mayor, thanks. I just wanted to follow up on some long unfinished business that got teased with the council several months ago before all this happened, and returned to the subject of school impact fees and the process of getting that long awaited process completed. So really this was a victim of circumstance. I had worked with Barb Kincaid to get all of the meetings lined up, both Planning Commission, Council Work Study, and Council Meeting, regular Council Meeting, scheduled to jump through each of the hoops that need to take place in order to get the impact fee ordinance adopted. Those were all scheduled for April. And of course, all the meetings in April got canceled, and there's no ability to hold a Planning Commission meeting, at least at the moment. So unfortunately, that means that we're not quite ready to move forward. We have let me back up just a minute. The process for getting the school impact fees adopted, you know, it sounds like, okay, well, let's just adopt them, but there's actually a multi-step process. First, we have to get the comp plan amended to include the specific capital facilities plans for each of the four school districts. Comp plans normally are only amended once a year at the end of the year. There's an opportunity for an emergency comp plan amendment process that can take place mid-year, and we were going to suggest that the council invoke that process to adopt those school district capital facilities plans into the comp plan mid-year, or you know, sometime during the year, rather than waiting for the end. But that is necessarily, by definition, an emergency action, and that type of emergency action I don't think is permissible, unfortunately, under the limited OPMA rules that we're operating under right now. We're supposed to be handling necessary and routine matters, and emergency comp plan amendments and adopting new impact fee requirements is probably not within the contemplated necessary and routine matters that the governor's OPMA waivers would allow. So unfortunately, I think that the Planning Commission hearing that would need to take place, the council work study that would need to take place, and the council vote on both the comp plan amendment and the impact fee ordinance and related agreements probably has to wait until we have more scope, more wiggle room to work in than we have right now, unfortunately, as a council. So I just wanted to let you know, we have tentatively, Barb and I talked earlier this week, that, you know, if things go well, if the governor's phasing plan moves, you know, optimistically in the way that we're all hoping it does, that we don't think a June Planning Commission hearing is realistic, but the July 7th would be the next expected or scheduled Planning Commission meeting. We're hoping that maybe that is the time when we can get the comp plan amendment in front of them for deliberation, for public testimony, and then they can pass a recommendation onto the council. So maybe we can have a work study later in July and, you know, move the adoption process along rapidly thereafter. So that's kind of where we're at, and happy to answer questions if you have, but I did want to make sure that you guys knew that wasn't just being ignored or we were too busy doing other things. Those were teed up, ready to go, and then we got smoked by the virus. So
I have a question. David, did you say there's a public hearing process as part of that?
Yeah, so there would need to be, because this involves a preliminary amendment to the comp plan to incorporate those school capital facilities plans, all comp plan amendments have to go through the planning commission under your code. They have to go through the hearing at a planning commission level. So that's hurdle one. And until we get over that hurdle, nothing else can really happen. So that's kind of a limiting factor. Once that hearing and recommendation has been forwarded to the council, then the council can act to adopt that amendment. And then in connection with that, there's a separate set of legislation that has to be passed that would actually adopt the ordinance that contains the impact fee calculation and the impact fee collection authorization. And then there's an interlocal agreement with the school districts that that lays out all the ground rules for how the city and the school district are gonna work together on the collection and remittance of impact fees. So there's a couple of parts that will have to come back to council once the planning commission is done.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So there is no executive session, so I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.